Chapter 8. To the Bastille. Years of happy marriage passed for Lucy and Charles, and they were blessed with a child. Sidney Carton did not visit the house in Soho Square as often as he once used to, but 4 or 5 times a year he spent an evening with them, and never after drinking wine. Lucy's young daughter, little Lucy, always held out her arms to him and treated him as a friend. Then, around the time of little Lucy's 6th birthday, in July 1789, news of an approaching storm in France reached their quiet corner. The centre of this wild and terrible storm circled round Defarge's wine shop. Guns and any other weapons that could be used, wooden bars, metal bars, knives and axes, were handed out. Every voice in Saint-Antoine cheered. Every heart beat wildly. Every living person was ready to sacrifice their life. "Keep near me, Jacques!" cried Defarge to another of the patriots. "Where's my wife?"
"Here," said Madame Defarge calmly. Instead of her knitting, she carried a sharpened axe in her right hand. In her belt were a gun and a cruel knife.
"Come then, patriots," cried Defarge. "We are ready. To the Bastille!"
With a noise like thunder, the sea of people poured through the city to the great stone walls and 8 towers of the prison. Drums were beaten and alarm bells rang. The attack had begun. For 4 wild hours, guns fired, axes struck, fires burned. Everywhere was noise. At last, the patriots were inside the Bastille's walls, and a cry went up.
"The prisoners!"
The boiling sea of patriots moved forward to unlock the cells and free the prisoners. Defarge laid his strong hands on a prison officer.
"Show me the North Tower, cell 105, he cried. "Quick!"
They hurried away through heavy doors, along dark corridors, and up still darker steps. Then the prison officer stopped, unlocked a door, and pushed it open.
105 North Tower, he said. "There's no one here."
There was a little window high up in the black walls, a small fireplace with bars across it, a wooden chair, and a bed.
"Hold your candle so I may see the walls," Defarge ordered the prison officer.
The man obeyed, and Defarge studied the walls carefully in the light of the candle. He soon found the letters AM cut into the wall. He quickly took his knife, cut open the bed, and searched inside it. Nothing. Then he struck the bars across the fireplace with his own metal bar and broke them. Kneeling down, he put his hand inside the opening of the fireplace and felt around the stone walls. With a quick movement, he pulled out his hand and hid something beneath his coat.
"There's nothing here," he said aloud to the prison officer. "Let's go."
Down in the courtyard, the sea of patriots stood round the prison's trembling governor. Madame Defarge stood calmly at his side, waiting for her husband. When Defarge appeared, the crowd marched the governor to the town hall. There, they attacked him, striking him with their bars until he fell down dead. Then, as if she had suddenly come to life, Madame Defarge put her foot on his neck, took out her knife, and cut off his head. On that day, in July 1789, this head, together with 6 more, was raised above the sea of patriot faces to show what man could be and do. And from that day, a change appeared on the hungry faces of the people of Saint-Antoine. "It is hard for me to keep myself alive," the look seemed to say. "But do you know how easy it is for me to destroy life in you?" In the village where the Marquis lay buried, a rough-looking traveller found the road mender resting at the top of the hill.
"How are things, Jacques?" the traveller asked.
"All well, Jacques," the road mender replied.
"It will be tonight," said the traveller. "Tell me where."
"About 2 miles out of the village, up that hill," said the road mender.
"Good,"
said the traveller, and he went on his way. That evening, the road mender went down to the fountain and whispered to everyone he found there. As it grew dark, the villagers did not go home to bed as usual, but stayed looking up at the sky in the direction of the chateau. Monsieur Gabelle saw them and felt anxious. He went up to his roof and looked out across the black sky. But the sky did not stay black for long. After a while, a strange orange light appeared and grew brighter and brighter. The villagers around the fountain stood watching the fire in the sky without moving. The chateau was burning, and no one was doing anything. Later, remembering that Monsieur Gabelle had once been responsible for collecting their rent and their taxes, the villagers marched to his house and stood in a crowd outside. When he heard them shout his name, Monsieur Gabelle quickly locked his door and put a heavy wooden bar across it. Then he hid upstairs, shaking with fear. If they broke down his door, he would throw himself off his roof, he decided. The night passed slowly, but at last the sun rose and the villagers returned to their houses. Monsieur Gabelle was still alive in the morning. In other villages across France that night, other tax collectors were not so fortunate.